Jack, you know, again, I raise the question, when you say 60%, does that mean 60% of a geographic area or 60% of a, like, during a 24-hour period?
Well, Jim.
Yes, Jack.
it means in a, one of those, for sure, one of those.
Maybe
things.
One of our two guests have. Introduce our guests, and then we can ask them when it says 60% chance. How do you try to stay in the 40% and you're dry and okay?
We have Rose Olson here, Deputy Executive Director of the Friends of Scotch and Peaks Wilderness, and Mark Cochran, Board Chair of that same organization.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Did either of you happen to go to meteorological school?
Please.
Yeah.
No, but I did recently learn that I do think it's the geographical area answer.
So in other words, if you position yourself perfectly in the 40%, you don't need an umbrella.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. You
I
could.
I like that.
Sort of, walk between the raindrops, so to speak, and you could avoid it.
And the way I interpret it is if it's 40% above, it's probably going to rain. Mm-hmm. And if it's 30% below, it's probably not going to rain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the limit of my expertise in meteorology.
It sounds good to me. That's probably more than the sum total of Jack and my expertise.
I didn't wear a raincoat today, so I think wherever I am, it's probably going to rain.
Okay, so in other words, 100% chance with Rose.
Yeah.
But if you're down the block from her, you're okay.
Yeah.
We need the rain. We need the moisture.
It's good.
I have heard that drought conditions heading into the summer and... Mm-hmm.
And
the snowpack is not as wonderful. And of course, with the snowpack, it's how rapidly it melts.
Yeah. But yes, you're right. Having a little rain, that's going to be good. And snow up high, too, is what we expect. This forecast brought to you by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the National Weather Service. And brought to us for free by that organization for the time being.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to mention it, that in case you rely on KRFY for your weather, we rely on the National Weather Service and thank them for said service. let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. Because that's really why you're here, isn't it, Rose? Isn't it, Mark?
Yes.
Yes. Jumping right into the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, when is it and where is it, first of all, the most important details?
Well, it's going to be at the Panetta Theater on Friday, March 28th. The doors are going to open at 6 o'clock in the evening, and the films will start at 7 o'clock. We've been doing this for a number of years now, I think, 7 years, Rose?
This will be our sixth year.
Sixth year, okay. And it's been pretty popular. We always have a really great lineup of films, and every year has its own theme. And this year's theme is Wild at Heart. And we've previewed the films, and we've got a really great lineup. I think anybody who's interested in the outdoors, which is like almost everybody here in North Idaho, will really enjoy this film festival.
Can I ask something about the selection of the films? Do you sit down and look at, and I'll say, 100 films? Or are you the ones who make the decisions, or is this a package?
All of those are options.
like the weather.
Yeah. In years past, we have chosen a curated package provided by the festival. This year, we did actually comb through many, many films, and... it's a custom package this year. So we chose the films this year. And I'm personally really excited about it because I got to preview so many films and pick my favorite ones. So it's going to be really fun to let that work come to fruition and share all of these great films with the rest of our community. So,
So can you give a run? How many films, number one?
10.
10. Okay. Mm-hmm. And length?
The show, the whole package is about 2 hours long with an intermission, so.
Okay, family friendly?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and can you highlight some of the films?
Sure. I'll let Mark talk about one of, I think our, you know this one, The Last Wolverine of the Wallowas. That's going to be our finale film for the evening.
One more time?
The Last Wolverine of the Wallowas.
The Last Wolverine.
Yeah, The Last Wolverine of the Wallowas. This isn't the first time we've had a Wolverine-related film. Some people involved with the Scotchmans might remember that a number of years back, over the course of 4 years, we participated as one organization in what was known as the Rare Forest Carnivore Study, which we nicknamed the Wolverine Study. It was done in conjunction with the Forest Service, Idaho Fish and Game, Montana Department of Wildlife and Parks, or whatever they call it in Montana, where we had teams go out into various locations. And this wasn't just in the Scotchmans, but it partially was in the Scotchmans, and set up camera stations with remote sensor cameras to see if we could capture footage of wolverines or photos of wolverines, which we did, you know, here and there. It was a very successful study. I participated in it every year as one of the team members, and it was a lot of fun. So wolverines are a big part of the consciousness of the Scotchman Peaks. In fact, that's one of our sponsorship levels, the Wolverine sponsorship level. So anyway, wolverines are near and dear to our heart, and it's a really great Wolverine movie.
And I take it wolverines are sort of rare to catch. I mean, and by that mean on film, I mean, they're sort of, they're not community animals, they're solitary?
That's correct. And yes, it's very, very seldom that they're actually caught on film, but this study did catch some on film. And, you know, the particular team that I was on did not catch any wolverines, even though we named our team Team Gulo Gulo, and that's the Latin name, the scientific name for wolverine. But we did, in the Scotchmans, 1 year catch two different fishers, which are also carnivores, you know, forest carnivores, mustelids that are similar to wolverines, and they're almost equally as uncommon as wolverines, so that was pretty exciting.
What's the geographic range of the wolverine? Because when you say wolverine, I think University of Michigan. That's how limited I am.
I don't know the entire range, the broad range across the United States, but you know, we are within their range. You know, of course, it's way back in the backcountry where you're going to find wolverines. Like, I know the Northern Cascades are. I know that wolverine photos were captured in like the Purcells.
Okay.
And in a a separate study, there was a wolverine, and when I say captured, I mean on film, not physically captured. In a separate study, there was one down in the McCall area that showed up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that showed up, you know, on one of the camera shots.
So, yeah. But if there's one, wouldn't there maybe be another one? And you know what I mean? Like, how does one, like, get out there by itself? I mean, do you make the assumption that there's other wolverines around too?
And I'm not a wolverine biologist, but and there is not a large wolverine population, and they range, their ranges of the individual animals, are vast. And so just because you find one here doesn't mean there's going to be another one close by, but obviously they have to be close enough to, you know, have breeding pairs and
friends.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do know, like, I'll tag on with what Mark was saying about wolverines. Their habitat is really reliant on the deep snowpack in the high mountains.
Oh, really?
And so, speaking of the National Weather Service and our snowpack, wolverines really rely on that deep, cold, high up snowpack. And so that's why part of why wolverines are getting harder to capture on footage is because they actually were recently listed as an endangered species. And so
I was going to ask you.
Yeah. But yeah, you would hope that there is at least a breeding pair. This film, and you'll have to come to the show next on the 28th to see what these researchers found out about this wolverine they were able to study in the Wallowas in Oregon.
And I'd like to point out that the film festival isn't just about wolverines. That's
right. One, this is the ending
that's
film.
That's one film. It's like our finale film, and it's an excellent film. But we've got a really broad range of films.
What are some of the other nine?
I'll just list a few. Some of my favorites that I'm looking forward to, there's one called Polar Bear Country. And that one is about this small town in northern, I think it's Manitoba. So, I don't know why we're picking snowy animals, but it's not all about snowy animals. This film, Polar Bear Country, is actually, it's very sweet, about kind of tourism in this area and how this small remote town engages with polar bears as they're on their migration path.
Ooh.
It's cute.
What's the town?
Churchill in Manitoba. Yeah, yeah. Do you know it? It's on the Hudson Bay.
Yes, I do. Cool. That is, all right. So we got polar bears, wolverines, any other, well, wolverines are in the Scotchmans. Polar bears, I assume, are not.
I assume not as well. Okay.
not yet.
Yeah. Any other animals coming that make it into the Scotchman Peaks wilderness?
That's cute and cuddly.
Well, the other animal-related film is about frogs, which...
They're fun.
Some might call them cute and cuddly. I don't know if I would.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cute, not cuddly. Yeah. But some of the other films, that there's one called The Fire Poppy, which is going to be a really cool one. It's about this female burn boss in California, and she's a fire ecologist, and I don't remember all her specs, but it's about our relationship with wildfire on the landscape and kind of, you know, how that's evolved through time in our country.
Hmm. Pertinent.
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic. What'd you call it? The Fire Poppy. The Fire Poppy.
The film is called The Fire Poppy. Got it. Yeah.
Okay. How many films total?
10.
Okay. You now, said, yeah.
Are they all about animals? Are there anything like about bear grass or about trees or...
We don't have many planty films, but we do have a handful of more adventure films. There's one about called Unseen Peaks. She's a blind athlete. It's really incredible watching this film. She ice climbs, she skis, she rock climbs. So inspiring.
Okay. The whole thing runs about 2 hours long, so these come clock in at about 20 minutes. No,
you know, they range. The shortest one is about 4 minutes, and our longest one is about 20. But we have it split up really nice, so we'll watch films for about an hour, and then we have a nice intermission where we have some really cool raffle prizes that folks can take their chances on, and then, we'll have another hour after that.
Where can one get tickets?
Tickets are on our website online, scotchmanpeaks.org. There is a specific Wild and Scenic film tour kind of menu at the top, but you can also find it through our hiking and events calendar as well.
And one more time?
scotchmanpeaks.org.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
So besides the new films, what else is new or different this year? I know, for example, this is not... You guys are not just showing it at the Panada, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got a whole tour planned.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, the film festival. Yeah. We're also going to be have stops on the film festival in Thompson Falls and in Libby. And that's going to be the first year that we've gone beyond Sandpoint.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys, do you feel like you're going to get a good reception there, being that there's not, you haven't been doing this for years and years there. Do you have a feeling of kind of how tickets are selling? How are people going to show up for this in Thompson Falls and Libby?
Well, we hope so. I mean, we're putting a lot of effort in publicizing it. And, you know, typically there aren't a huge amount of ticket sales way in advance. Most people are going to buy their tickets within the last week or at the door. So far, even with that in mind, in Sandpoint so far, the ticket sales have been pretty good, you know, given the where we are before it. So, and it's our first year in both of those cities, and they're very outdoorsy related cities, just like we are. So hopefully we're going to draw a good crowd.
So this film festival is a fundraiser?
Yep, yes. This is our largest fundraiser for our organization. I should say our largest fundraising event of the year. And all of the proceeds raised are going to go directly to our programmatic work, which in the summer is a lot of trail stewardship and trail work. And as you may have heard in the news, the Forest Service is facing some pretty big cuts this season. And so our work on trail stewardship is going to be more important than ever. Our volunteer trail crews take care of almost all of the hiking trails in the Scotchman Peaks area, including the well-beloved, well-traveled Scotchman Peak Trail, number 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so all the money raised at this film, like I said, goes directly to our programmatic work, which is involved. We hope to keep trails open and the Wild Scotchman's accessible to everyone.
And our program work that we do isn't just the stewardship, the trail maintenance stuff. We also have our trail ambassador program, which we nicknamed the Mountain Goat Ambassador, Goat Ambassadors. So every weekend during peak hiking season, we will have every weekend day, we will have an ambassador on the trail, climbing to the top, interacting with hikers. The main purpose being to educate hikers about appropriate behavior around mountain goats. But you just never know what questions people are going to ask the trail ambassador. I've been a trail ambassador numerous times over the years, and it's a lot of fun. One of my favorite programs. We also have, in the wintertime, we have our Winter Tracks program where we bring school kids out to various locations in the outdoors, and we have experts on hand to teach them about winter tracks and many other outdoor-related things, and it's a really popular program. Every year, maybe you can give a number, Rose, the number of schools that actually participate in this, but it's in North Idaho, of course, Montana, of course. We've even done it in Washington, and it's a great program.
Yeah, this year tomorrow, I think, is our final Winter Tracks Day, and this year we will have seen somewhere around 500 local students providing this free outdoor education for them, which, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and so the money we raise at this film festival is going into the community for programs that serve community members and that serve the Scotchman Peaks area as well.
We both were going to ask a question. You first, Jack.
Well, you mentioned mountain goats a second ago, and just out of curiosity, this is a little off topic, but the goats are kind of the mascot of the Scotchman Peaks. And I know it must have been 10 years ago now or five that I remember the situation being that they were actually coming up and like licking people. They were that used to human contact. How are the goats these days? Any developments among the mountain goat herds that are roaming the peaks?
You know, just like humans, mountain goats have a wide variety of personalities. And yes, there was a problem where, mountain goats crave salt. And they'll get salt wherever they can, including human sweat. And humans were encouraging the mountain goats to come lick their arms and lick their legs and stuff like that in the mistaken belief that these mountain goats were kind of tame and friendly, which is not the case at all. Mm-hmm. They're craving salt, and they're actually very nervous around human beings and therefore potentially dangerous. And there was an incident a number of years ago where somebody was actually bitten by a mountain goat, and it was this person who he walked up and was letting the goat lick his legs, the sweat off his legs, in the mistaken belief that it was safe to do that, and he got bitten.
Yeah.
Ended up having to go to the ER once he got down off the mountain. And that was the precipitating incident for establishing the Mountain Goat Ambassador, the Trail Ambassador Program, which is a collaborative effort between us, Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, as well as the Forest Service, as well as the Idaho Fish and Game. And the main purpose is to educate hikers, no, don't do things like that.
You can still see them up there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And,
oh, yeah.
How is I guess the number of animals is about the same as ever, or growing, shrinking, unknown?
I guess my just personal observation is that it's about the same.
Yeah.
And when you hike up there, you're pretty much always going to see at least one or two mountain goats, sometimes more than that.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky.
I mean, pretty much every time.
I've never seen one.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
I know.
How many times have you hiked Scotchman Peak, Jack?
Almost once.
Well, there you go.
I got on the trail, and then it started to rain, and I think I hid under a tree, and then it got dark, and I walked back down.
You know, they live at the top.
Yeah.
I've summited Scotchman, I think, 14 times, and I've seen mountain goats up there every time except one.
Okay. Okay, Jim, I sort of interrupted you. What were you going
to ask? I was just going to ask, going back to the film festival in Libby and Thompson Falls, what are the dates on those two?
Yeah, Thompson Falls, that'll be showing at the Rex Theater on April 5th. And our show in Libby is at the Mackey Theater on April 10th.
Okay, good. That's just for folks who might be in that area.
Yeah, if you missed the show in Sandpoint, you got two more chances.
Road trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Again, at the Panada Theater, we're here with Rose and Mark from Friends of Scotchman Peaks. Wild and Scenic Film Festival, 7 o'clock, March 28th.
You got it.
One thing I'd like to mention is, you know, we have quite a few generous sponsors that help us pull this thing off and, you know, quite a few local sponsors. And I'd like to acknowledge our top level sponsors, which are the Blue Sea Ranch, Idaho Forest Group, and of course, KRFY. And we really appreciate, your support and the support of these, the top level sponsors, as well as all of the other sponsors as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, a worthy thing to support. The Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. I guess we have kind of mentioned what the funds go to. As far as what's new, anything besides the new and expanded the roadshow edition of the film festival. Anything changed from past years, or have you got this in the sixth year? Is this pretty much dialed in now?
We've got it pretty dialed. I do want to talk about some of our raffle prizes because we have some really cool stuff that I'm going to be sad if I don't win. But
you're running the organization.
I know. I'll probably recuse myself from raffle tickets. Oh. But one of the items that we have almost every year, our board member, Chris Compton, he is a pilot, and so he usually raffles off a generous scenic flight over the Cabinets and the Scotchman Peaks in his bush plane, and that's always, like, such an exciting adventure to win. Like, what a cool chance to get to fly over these mountains in a small plane.
Have you done that?
I have, not with Chris, but I have had the opportunity to fly over the Scotchman's and the Cabinets in a small plane, and it is incredible.
Yeah.
And you too, Mark?
With me. I've never flown with Chris. That's the one raffle ticket I always wish I would win and have not won it yet, because that's the one everybody wants to win. Mm-hmm. But yes, I have taken a couple of times, plane flights over the Scotchman's. It's gorgeous. It's breathtaking.
Okay, so that is going to be raffled off on the 28th at the intermission during the film festival?
Yep.
Cool.
And I think I hate to rank our prizes. They're all so wonderful. Some other things we'll have are an original painting by Ed Robinson. He's a local artist and retired. Was he a forester?
I think he was with the Idaho Department of Lands. He's a forester, yeah.
Forester.
And he was he's been a longtime supporter and was actually a board member for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Outdoor Experience has generously put together a really great package. It includes a nice pack, some snowshoes, some water bottles. It's a great package, yeah.
Okay, and so one has to attend in order to get the raffle tickets?
Oh, yep. And bring cash for those raffle tickets.
Okay.
Always.
Cash for the raffle tickets. Mm-hmm. One more time, where can one get tickets ahead of time?
ScotchmanPeaks.org. Look for the Wild and Scenic Film Fest Scotchman Peaks Tour menu item across the top of our website. And tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door.
Perfect. And this is on the 28th of March at the Panada Theater, 7 o'clock showtime, 6 o'clock doors open.
Yeah. Oh, and I have one more thing to mention.
One more.
We like to offer some VIP tickets, or we call them our Superstar Supporter Package sometimes. And these tickets are $100 a person, but they include a hosted pre-party at iCarts before the show. And we also set aside the prime seating as reserved seating for these folks so that they can enjoy themselves at the pre-party and then waltz on in right before showtime and have a good seat.
Okay. And this is a family event, so
yes,
bring along the grandparents, aunts and uncles, kids. Everyone.
Bring them all.
Bring them all. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, well, it is almost halfway We're almost at the bottom of the hour.
And we have another person waiting to... Should we do a music break?
Sammy Berryman is here. Brendan Kelty Naples is here. Boy, it's going to be a party here. We got a full house to talk about another film festival. And, do you know, on Tuesday, they were talking about the fly fishing film tour on these airwaves. It's film festival week.
Oh, this is a busy weekend at the Panada. on this date... In 1984, a fledgling MTV did their top 20 countdown, and this was the number one song in 1984 on this date, beginning a whole long, decade long of top 20 countdown. See if you remember this song. That was Kenny Loggins doing Footloose and Kevin Bacon bouncing all over the place. On this date in 1984, MTV debuted its video, top 20 video countdown.
And that was number one at the time.
That was number one at the time of a video. And that was just the beginning of videos being associated with pop music.
Was this Total Request Live? How do they determine what's the number one video as opposed to number one song?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean that.
Well,
I'm not an '80s person.
Okay.
Okay. I have no idea. You know, because it seems somewhat arbitrary.
Yeah.
How do you count videos? Top 20 video countdown.
Right. And when MTV is the only thing showing videos.
There you go.
Yeah. Whichever ones they had decided to show the most. Okay.
Anyway, that's a fun song to listen to and to get your juices flowing on this Thursday morning.
The scenery has changed here in the studio. Mark and Rose have left us, and we now welcome Sammy Berryman, organizer and host of the No Man's Land Film Festival this weekend at the Panada Theater. Speaking of the Panada Theater, Brendan Kelty is here. Also
morning.
From that fine establishment and organization. And we are talking about the No Man's Land Film Festival and what else is going on at the Panada this weekend or this week anyway. I guess let's start off with the No Man's Land Film Festival, which is soon, which is like this weekend.
Yeah, it's
day
Saturday.
After tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay. Are you ready for it, Sammy?
So ready. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of emails exchanged over the last 24 hours, and I'm sure many more.
Okay. This film festival, it has played in Sandpoint before.
Yep.
But it didn't last year. Right?
No, it did not last year.
Okay.
The previous time that it played was 2023, and actually that was the first year that I moved to Sandpoint.
Uh-huh.
We'll get into that.
Okay. So it came back, and if we're calling you one of the organizers of the event,
yep.
I guess what inspired you to bring this film festival back to Sandpoint?
Yeah, so I guess we'll dive right back in.
Sure.
So in 2023, it was the first year that I moved here, and I went to this film festival that at the time Sam Ryan and Lauren Sanders were hosting, and we had moved over from New Zealand. My husband was still living there. And I went to this film fest by myself. I was like, great, about women in the outdoors. That's kind of why I'm moving to Sandpoint. And I just left with like the greatest feeling ever that this is where I wanted to place my roots. And I thought that, you know, it solidified being in the right place. So
cool.
I jumped in for organizing it this year.
All right.
Yeah.
Not a trace of an accent, I must say, by the way. Good
no,
job.
But weird words will pop up. I'll say keen. I'll call this table a bench.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
The film festival is called the No Man's Land Film Festival, which means what?
Well, it doesn't mean that no men are allowed.
Okay.
That's what a lot of us are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It really just represents celebrating the outdoors, women in the outdoors, our BIPOC community, our LGBTQ plus community, and just giving a space for us all to come together and be on stage.
It's a series of films about the outdoors, outdoor adventures, but focused just on who have dominated the so often. Yeah, when you see it, like an outdoor adventure film, it's going to be about a guy fighting the wild all by himself or something.
Totally, we're just putting women at the center stage and putting them on screen, and you know, it's been a fight over the past century or so to get this done, and I think that this film festival is very representative of just where we should continue moving to bring women to the forefront, and and like they're cool stories as well. You know, this just it's not all about rah rah rah, but
how many films?
Yeah, we've got 6 films in the lineup.
6, and what's the range of time?
Range of time, in terms of how long each film is.
Yeah, how long? Yeah, exactly.
We've got a 5-minute film, and we've got like a 25-minute film. So anywhere within those length and. Yeah.
How long will the event last?
The event will, doors open at 6. We have a panel of speakers that will be starting at 7, and then films will start shortly after that. I believe end time is 9. So late night, make sure you have your dinner prior. Is that correct, Brenton?
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I'll be there till midnight if you want to stay with me. So that's.
Let me ask you about the selection process.
Yep.
Did you yourself look at, along with a committee, look at, or is this a package deal that was put together somewhere else?
Yeah,
or?
Good question. So we are given a lineup of films to choose from the organizers of No Man's Land, which is like a larger organization. And this whole series actually shows all over the world. So we are just one destination of the entire film series. And through that, yeah, we were given a list of films to choose from. Luckily, Sam Ryan stepped in and helped choose as well. So basically what you'll be seeing is me, Sam Ryan, and Lauren Sanders' film choices. And we think that they're a pretty good spread
of films. So the No Man's Film Festival, let's say in another town, could have different films.
Exactly.
How many films did you get to choose from?
Oh, gosh. I want to say 15.
Okay.
So whittled it down to 6 and... Yeah, they're pretty cool. We've got some mountain biking ones in there.
Okay,
yeah.
Mountain biking, and what else will one be seeing?
We've got mountain biking, we've got trail running, we've got some about, you know, this woman who's just found out that she's autistic and her journey in the world running and dealing with that. We've got one of these women who are rafting through the Grand Canyon. We've got a kiteboarder in there from Egypt, so... It's going to be gorgeous landscapes that we're going to be seeing.
Can you give an overview of the purpose of the No Man's Land Film Festival? What point do you hope that the film festival makes?
First and foremost, I hope that people just really enjoy their time there.
Okay.
I think joy is the main thing that I want people to walk away with and that Lauren and I have talked so much about. But also just, you know, if you're not making the time for yourself to get out and just... even enjoy a 5-minute walk every day. We hope that it inspires you to just get out, make some time for yourself. And yeah, and we see you. If you're feeling like you might be a little bit different in this world, like we've got you. So, yeah.
Okay, excellent. That is at the Panada Theater, the Ides of March. That'd be the 15th, this Saturday.
I was wondering if we were going to mention the Ides of March
this
year. Thank you.
We can go back later and talk a little bit about...
Explain.
Not every month has an Ides on the 15th.
Yeah, sometimes it's the 13th.
13th, right? You bet. It's all lunar and that sort of stuff. What time do the doors open?
Doors open at 6 p.m.
Okay, and there's raffles or...
Yep, we've got a lot of amazing raffle prizes. Once again, I heard Rose earlier speaking, but our community stepped up as they tend to do. Yeah, a lot of local businesses have provided raffles. We've also got a 2025-2026 ski pass that Schweitzer.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're going to be...
That's a big ticket item.
It's a huge ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
That will be an auction item. Raffle, we need dollars at the raffle, so make sure you bring cash.
Okay, cash. And wait, I had a question, and it just went by me. It just zipped right by about...
Well, Okay, think about it.
Reel it in for me, Chad.
Okay, we were talking about raffle items and the ski pass.
Yeah. Where can one get tickets?
Aha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Hello. Uh-huh.
Most importantly, make sure you're there. Yeah. Yes. So you can get tickets on Panada's website. You're also able to just go on to No Man's Land 7B on Instagram, and there should be a link there as well.
Okay, and the Panada is panada.org/events.
Okay.
That one can get
perfect.
Brendan's been in here before, and one final thing: is this a family event?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've handpicked our raffle kids that are going to be helping out.
Ah, good.
We've got some good energy from our high schoolers that are going to be there. Excellent. So, yeah, bring your family,
grandpa, absolutely. Aunt and uncle,
yes.
Everybody.
You got to pick the movies.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah. Do you?
I do. I'm also very excited. Mm. There are a handful that I was not able to watch because they're just the trailers. So mm-hmm. I'm very. So okay. I'm going to be sitting there with my jaw dropped just along with the crowd. Mm-hmm. But I'm a sucker for mountain biking and trail running. Those are my two disciplines. And Courtney DeWalter is in the trail running film. It's about her journey in doing the triad of ultras, which doing one ultra in my mind is an insane feat. So, yeah, we're going to be watching her conquer three of the world's most known ultras in one single season, which is crazy. Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
I know.
Okay. Courtney DeWalter. I don't know that name.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Are you going to be there? And I don't mean to put you on the spot. If not.
What is it, Saturday? Maybe. Yeah. We've got another, KRFY has an event on Saturday.
Well, yeah, you guys are busy.
Yeah, we've got not us, but actually we're going to be covering our congressional delegation.
Amazing.
We've got, yeah.
Sounds just as fun.
That's right. Mark Sauter and Jim Woodward are going to be at the VFW that'll be earlier in the day. I think they're there at noon, so I'll be there broadcasting. Yes,
I'll save you. So
okay,
they're going to be online as well eventually.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, okay. Courtney DeWalter. I don't know her. You were saying, were you going to tell me who she was? No, I don't know.
She's incredible. Okay. I'd say she's the mm-hmm. most prolific runner in trail running at the moment.
Okay.
And I'd say over the last 5 years or so, she's really stepped up. She's mm-hmm. very well known for wearing long shorts that are mm-hmm. loose and baggy. And mm-hmm. she, in trail running, men and women run together. She continues to just dominate.
Okay.
Yeah. She's cool. Awesome.
And she's doing she's doing three ultra marathons in a year?
Yeah, she did this last year. And I don't want to tell you the outcome because it's going to be in the film.
All right.
But the other one that I'm excited about is a film about the Red Bull Rampage. And once again, last year, it was a huge year for women's sports, but it was the first year that women were allowed to compete in the Red Bull Rampage. Have you heard of that one?
No. Okay. Is that in Pamplona?
Pardon? No.
Is that in Pamplona? I guess that's a joke. That's a running of the bulls joke. That's my sense of humor. What's the Red Bull Rampage?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. just these. I'm probably not allowed to cuss.
Yeah, correct.
No. It's these insane women mm-hmm. that rip around on their mountain bikes and do massive, like 100-foot gap jumps down steep descents. Yeah, it's insane. A lot of broken bones, honestly.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
But okay. I mean, mm-hmm. we can do it too. So. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to show that we can get broken and we can heal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
I'm not looking forward to the gruesome broken bone scene.
No, sorry. No. I don't think that scene will be in there.
I know.
But it's going to be some gorgeous mm-hmm. red dirt. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I always just love mm-hmm. seeing that type of scenery.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And, you know, it's the first time that women have been allowed to compete in this massive event, which still blows my mind that this was last year, and in 2024 we're still fighting to be a part of certain events and certain disciplines and sport. So
I don't know if I am behind women joining men in breaking bones. You know what I mean? In other words,
I don't know what you mean, because I don't know, it's like, it's our bodies. If we want to try something and it ends up in injury.
I have no problem with that. So that is this Saturday, the 15th, No Man Lands Film Festival at the Panada Theater.
Yep.
It starts at 7. Bring cash for the raffle prizes.
Proceeds go to?
Proceeds, thank you for mentioning this. Mm-hmm. Yep. They go to Safe Idaho and the Ethan Murray Fund.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And across from me is Brendan.
Hello.
And there is going to be something, I think, on Friday,
Saturday, Sunday,
Tuesday. Busy weekend.
Weekend.
Great weekend. Great weekend at the Panada. For sports lovers, for outdoors lovers, and people who love scenic vistas, we'll kick it off here with Friday's event. Panhandle Chapter of Trout Unlimited presenting the Fly Fishing Film Tour Fest. And what this is the Panhandle Chapter's biggest fundraiser of the year. And it's a collection of films, obviously, on fly fishing. But this isn't all fly fishing based in the Northwest. This is fly fishing happening in South America, Florida, the Rockies, across the world. And in fact, a few of them feature women leaders in some pretty precarious fly fishing spots. So very cool there.
And not only geographic, but kinds of water.
You know,
when we think of fly fishing, we think of a mountain stream or something.
Totally.
But there's sometimes ocean fly fishing. You think a fly in an ocean. I mean,
some of the most challenging fly fishing there is.
I have a friend who does that and sent me a picture about 2 months ago of like a fly fisherman would die to catch this fish, and he caught two of them. They're so rare. He was doing it somewhere off the coast of Belize, doing it. So, so it's not only geographic, but it's kinds of bodies of water.
Definitely. And kinds of fly fishing. There's your traditional, and there's also spey fly, which is this two-handed massive rod that's used, originated in Scotland, I believe. And so there's just a lot of diversity in the program. And even better, it's a fundraiser for this organization that does a lot of great conservation efforts in our region.
In the area. Now, this is Friday night, the 14th. At what time?
7 p.m., and doors open at 5:30.
Okay, and I think they have raffle prizes too.
They do. In fact, North 40 has donated a fair share of tackle gear, fly fishing tackle.
Okay.
And Linehan Outfitters up there in the Yak of Montana is going to provide a $650 float tour as a prize. So this is
excellent.
This is a weekend of big prizes and raffles over there at the Panada.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Film festival time.
And bring cash.
Bring cash. Yeah. Come thirsty. You know, it's going to be a party for both of these film tours for sure.
Okay. And then Saturday night, it's the No Man's Land Film Festival. Have you seen any of those, by the way, Brendan?
I have not.
Just to bring you
into
that conversation.
In fact, I don't think they've been available. I've seen some trailers, but... Okay. I think a couple of them have been available, but I'm just waiting to be... the suspense is killing me. I just want to catch them all on Saturday.
Thanks.
Okay, Sunday, if you weren't busy enough.
So Sunday is a big deal for film lovers out there. Sunday is The Quiet Man, and many folks may not know that film, but it's a massive classic hit from 1952 featuring John Wayne, and it's based on a novel from 1933. Anyway, it won a bunch of Academy Awards, Golden Globes. It was a massive cultural moment, I guess you could say. John Wayne broke out of the Western, jumped into this comedic drama type of film. And it's got a big undercurrent of fandom out there. Jim, I'm not sure if you know about The Quiet Man, but...
Maureen O'Hara. I'm waiting for you to mention Maureen O'Hara.
Well, I'm waiting for you to jump in because I know you know all about this film.
It has one of the longest fight scenes, if I'm not mistaken. And you're absolutely correct. It's John Wayne moving out of Westerns into, of all places, Ireland. And why are we choosing that on the 16th?
It is based in Ireland.
And what's the 17th?
St. Patrick's Day. Thank you for
that. Bingo.
Yeah, huh?
That's
yeah.
when St. Patrick, he chased all of the snakes out of Ireland. I don't know if you
exactly.
knew that. But the scenery in this film is exceptional. And what's funny is when we posted about this online, we have a massive following coming out. To check this film out. There, people are very stoked.
And what are the times on Sunday the 16th?
We have two showings. One's at 2 with closed caption for those that like to kind of may have hard of hearing. And then 7 p.m. as well. And this is part of our Sunday Cinema Series sponsored by several good folks in the community. Ben Richards of Merrill, McNeil Family Dental, and Skyrite Roofing, as well as the retro arcade up in the Cedar Street Bridge.
And the doors open 1/2 hour.
That's correct. Before. 1/2 hour before showtime.
So there's movies 14th, 15th, 16th at the Panada, and you can go to panada.org/events to find out more about them.
You got it.
Excellent.
Yep. Tuesday, I know what's coming. Did you say you have something on Monday, or are you taking Monday off?
We're taking Monday off.
Well, thank
we're
goodness.
Gonna, we're going to take Monday off there.
Time but, for corned beef and soda bread.
That's right.
That's right. Tuesday,
and Guinness.
Tuesday, KRY is in the Little Theater. We've got Mobius Riff as part of the Little Live Radio Hour.
What time?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Doors open at?
6:30. You
okay.
You can tune in here on these airwaves. However you're listening to KRY right now, you can listen then. That is, if you are listening live, and then otherwise you can come in person, and it's free, and it's a pretty good show.
Or you can listen dead.
Or you can listen dead.
Uh-huh. Whenever anybody says that, what are the alternatives?
Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I give a little plug for this band? Because this is one of my favorites.
Go ahead.
Well, these guys, you know, they're kind of they play quite a bit in Sandpoint.
Yes.
They're kind of a sleeper band. They're not out there for fame and glory, but they are an exceptionally talented group of individuals. And starting with Dennis Zwang on all things woodwind, including sax, Larry Higgins on multiple instruments, Tom Dubendorfer on guitar, and Larry Goldberg. Yeah, these are a very talented group, and I fully recommend checking
them out. What kind of genre do they play?
It's a really neat mixture of jazz, vintage jazz, a touch of rock jam, a touch of gypsy, or shall we say Romani music now is probably the correct term we're using. And just a collection, very eclectic type of music.
I think I'd call it jazz if you had to give it one category, you'd say it's a jazz act. It'll be unlike anything we've had on this series before. And I would agree with Brendan. I think probably like kind of pound for pound, they might be they might have the best musical chops of any band in our area, sort of. Just if you take all their different influences, Denise in a world music band, and teaches over at the Music Conservatory as well, but classical influences, jazz to folk to rock, it all kind of comes together. And they've been playing individually, they have all been playing for a good long time. They melt together very nicely.
And sorry for mispronouncing your name, Denis.
Oh. I'm sure he gets that all the time. I'm 100% sure he gets that all the time. I think I've done it to him before, too. Okay. Well, look, this hour flew by, but look how much time we still have.
And can I throw in a pitch for me?
Okay, Jim.
Tonight at 9 o'clock, the KRFY Folk Show.
Excellent.
I'm going to be taking a look at a 3-CD set done by various artists, a tribute to singer-songwriter Eric Anderson. And so that'll be tonight at 9 o'clock here on 88.5 KRFY, the Folk Show with me.
Let's see. We got a couple board meetings of note coming up tonight. There's a board meeting at the Panada, right?
That's correct. 6 p.m.
Little Theater.
You got it.
Still talking about the developments or the changes coming to the actual building, you think, or moving on to new business?
I think we're moving on to new business at this point. We've covered a lot of that, the transitions, and now it's probably more on to your run of the mill operating type of issues.
Cool. Let's see, KRFY, our annual public meeting is on the 25th of this month at Evans Brothers, if I'm not mistaken. And that'll be at 5:30 in the evening. So if you're interested in the operations and the goings-on at this radio station, that's March 25th, Evans Brothers in the evening. Come on down to that. And we still have moments left. If
is coffee served there, Jack?
Sure.
What, at Evans Brothers?
Well, sure. I just got to make sure. It's in the evening. Who knows?
Let's repeat one more time. The 15th, this Saturday.
The coffee bar will be closed, I would say. But the
place will be open. Yeah.
We'll have refreshments available.
Wonderful.
Yes. This Saturday, the No Man's Land Film Festival. Yeah. Hit it, Sammy. Tell us what we need to know in the remaining few minutes we have.
Oh, gosh.
Why should people
come with energy?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's no, it's going to be a party. I know we maybe got a little heavy there for a while, but more than anything, it's a celebration of just women in sport. And, yeah, we're going to have a lot of glitter, a lot of tutus, a lot of color, got some music. We've got some amazing panel speakers I don't think we touched on.
No, we
no.
didn't.
Go for it.
Who's I know. On the, who's I feel on like the that's panel? Super important. We've got Sam Ryan, so no, she's not hosting it this year, but we've still got her looped in because she's amazing in this community.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Katie Cox of Kinnick-Sioux Land Trust, and we have Lisa Bond, who is with the Sandpoint Area Senior Center. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have those three women up there with Lauren and I just firing some questions, having an open discussion with them. Yeah.
And Sam Ryan doesn't surprise me. Katie Cox doesn't surprise me. Interesting to hear you're looping in the senior center. And cool. Nice idea.
Yeah, we think so too.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, the outdoors don't close for business once you turn 65.
No, not at all. I feel like a lot of people actually find themselves for the first time doing new things at that age. Or just, you know, getting out in different ways. So I'm very excited to have hopefully more of that community in the room as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That'd be awesome. And then, you know, hopefully some snow coming in this weekend. And
ooh, I put my snow shovel away.
Knock on,
For the season.
I don't know if I should knock on wood. But Sunday's looking to be firing, so perhaps we'll have a gathering of
women's. There you go. There you go.
A little ski event up there.
Okay.
Well, Brendan, Sandy, thank you so much for coming in.
Been a pleasure.
I will not be here next week.
That's right. And I can't remember who we're talking to, Food Bank and someone else. Sandpoint Forward, talking about a little resiliency.
Okay, and the Food Bank is having their bowls made by Sandpoint High School art students, and you buy a bowl and you get it filled with soup, and it's a fundraiser.
Yeah, and one of these weeks, might be next week, we're going to try and get the festival in for just a short few minutes.
Yeah,
they want to talk about. Well, the festival at Sandpoint, that is, what's coming up this summer and what they're up to right now. So, that's next week. We have 10 seconds left in the program.
You'll be gymless.
I know. We might get Carrie Logan in here if there's room for a co-host, although it's going to be sometimes
a full place.
Sometimes it gets full, yeah. Okay. Sammy, Brendan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
Okay.
Good to be here.
Stay tuned for Bird Note here and then Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY Ponderay.